You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Kusha Navadar. Last year, local Brooklyn artist Rusty Zimmerman set out to paint the characters of South Brooklyn free of charge. Zimmerman is the founder of the Free Portrait Project, an initiative in which he creates portraits of New Yorkers using oil paints. Now, getting an oil portrait is historically a practice reserved for a white elite class that could afford to have their portraits made. With over 650 applications throughout 2023, Zimmerman painted 5 portraits per week, and the result was 200 portraits of residents who live south of Prospect Park. As he paints, Zimmerman also records oral histories with his sitters. The collection will eventually be donated to the Center for Brooklyn History. Let's listen to a sample of that oral history from a welder in Bensonhurst.
My name is Thomas Colasanto. I'm from Bensonhurst. My grandfather started Able Welding Company in 1949, and my father took over after my grandfather passed away. And last year, my father retired, and now I run it. So we actually, it's our 75th anniversary this year. We're the last stop. After you try everybody else, we're the ones that the other companies recommend to come to. I was probably about 10 when I was able to use, like, a welding machine. But before that, it was all hand tools, no power tools. Kids used to get toys for Christmas. I used to get tools for Christmas.
The finished portraits and oral histories are now on view in an exhibition called We Are South Brooklyn. You can go check it out in Industry City through March 24th. You've got about one more week. And joining us here now to talk about his project is artist Rusty Zimmerman. Hi, Rusty.
Hey, Kusha, nice to meet you, and thanks for having me on the air today.
Absolutely, happy to have you here. And listeners, we want to hear from you too. The Free Portrait Project is all about community and celebrating neighbors. So tell us, who's a neighbor or someone in your community that you appreciate and want to shout out? What do they mean to you? Call or text us now at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. How does this person you want to shout out make your neighborhood more exciting or special? Why does reaching out to neighbors or being friendly matter to you? We'd love to hear about people you appreciate in your community. Shout it out by calling or texting us at 212-433-9692. So, Rusty, could we start by hearing more about the origin of the Free Portrait Project? How did you get the idea?
Sure. It started, I always tell everybody, from a selfish place. I wanted to be a better painter, and I knew that would happen with practice, and I knew the best practice for me is painting from life, having a human being sitting right in front of me for about as long as anybody can stand it to sit still. And so that's what I started to do, just inviting friends and neighbors over to come sit for what we found was 4 hours, was roughly about as much as anybody could psychologically handle giving of their time in New York City, with everything else that we have to get done from the moment we wake to the moment our head hits the pillow again. And folks would come over. And we would just talk and hang out while we were doing this in my living room in Crown Heights, Brooklyn at the time. And what I found is that I got to know the people who I was sitting with, even though I regarded them as friends or familiar, in ways that I didn't expect. Like, I found out my buddy Johnny Alvarez grew up in Amsterdam. And I never knew that. You know, if you'd asked me, you know, I was like, Johnny's a good guy. That's all I need to know. But then a neighbor had asked me, can I purchase one of these? In fact, not just for me, but for my entire family, my wife, myself, and 4 children. And at the time, I'd worked up to about $500 a head I was charging for an 18 by 24 oil sketch portrait from life. And I thought, this is great. I get to work in service of a neighbor that I love. And I did the quick math. That's $3,000 of revenue. That sounds amazing. Let's do it. And he said, I can't afford that. And I said, I can't afford that either. I understand what that's like. I'll give you a deal. And he said, no, don't give me a deal. You're worth it. You should get paid for what you do. I just can't afford it. It hurt. It hurt to realize that the thing that I was putting into the world was essentially perpetuating that history of portraiture just reserved for people who could afford a non-essential item, such as an oil-painted portrait of themselves or anyone else, whether it's a dear departed relative or a child or a dual husband-wife portrait or even a portrait of their pet, you know, which sometimes I'll take a commission for. I didn't want to just work for folks who could afford such a thing. And a dear friend of mine from high school, a fellow named J.P. Capulong, that I went to school with out in Bellarmine College Preparatory, which figures into this prominently, he explained to me crowdfunding. And he said that if you were to not just give these to folks you know, but to document a community bigger than yourself, and you put that out to the Kickstarters, the Indiegogos, the crowdfunding platforms, then that can catalyze support from people that you've never even met, who just think that the idea of capturing a community in transition or a picture of a place and time through its people, that just sounds cool enough that somebody would be like, yeah, I'd put 10 bucks in the hat to see that made real. And I ended up raising about $50,000 over the course of a year to do this work in Crown Heights between June of 2015 and June of 2016. And in doing so, I got to meet all of my neighbors, some of whom I was familiar with having lived there for 6 years prior. But a lot of them I wasn't familiar with, like Mordechai Lightstone, who's a social media manager for Chabad Lubavitch headquarters over at 770 Eastern Parkway at Kingston. And I reached out to him as a representative of the Lubavitcher Orthodox Hasidic community in Brooklyn. And he said, let me give you a tour. And I said, let me have you come sit in the chair. And that way you can go forth as an emissary of this project to say, y'all, this guy's legit, and I think we should all take part in this, because it would be a shame to not be represented. In fact, it could be terrible optics to have an Orthodox Jewish community in Crown Heights be left out of a picture of Crown Heights. So let's get in on this.
And you had a lot of applications, right? How many applications did you get?
This time around, we had, like you said, just north of 650 for these 200 spots available.
And how do you go about choosing?
Well, that's the best part, is I don't. I created a portal where anyone could apply to throw their name in the hat, with the only criteria of eligibility being that you live in Brooklyn south of Prospect Park, or you're some sort of public-facing persona. So, for instance, if you lived in Fort Greene but tended bar in Sunset Park five nights a week and you were the person who handed everybody their beer at the end of the night, then you're a face of the neighborhood. Or if you run the halal cart, or if you're King Henry at the Brooklyn Cyclones for 20 years as a face of the neighborhood. And half a dozen people nominate you, and they're like, you got to get King Henry in the picture. Otherwise, it's not a proper picture of the whole place if it's missing that one component. And then after riding my bicycle all around town, putting up flyers on telephone poles and the sides of mailboxes and in the windows of bodegas and laundromats and smoke shops and anybody who'd let me put up a flyer, in Chinese and Spanish in Sunset Park, and in Arabic in Bay Ridge, and in Russian in Brighton Beach and Coney, and so on. And calling on friends who would speak Haitian Creole a whole lot better than I do to say, did Google translate this flyer right? To say, are you South Brooklyn? Would you like a free oil-painted portrait from life and a recorded oral history? If so, I'm doing this for 1 year, and anybody can, it's free to participate, free to apply. And scan this QR code here that opens up the application. You fill out the form, click submit, and then your name is in the hat for one of these 200 spots. Then I send out an email to all those folks every 2 weeks just to announce the next 2 weeks of available spots. And that way, if you found out about this in June, you didn't miss out because the calendar had filled up with everybody who had applied prior. You still got a shot at July through December.
So it sounds like there's an involved application to make sure that it's a holistic and nice cross-section of folks that are living in this community. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Rusty Zimmerman. He's an artist, and he's the founder of the Free Portrait Project, where he paints portraits of New Yorkers for free. His latest exhibition of this project is called We Are South Brooklyn, and it's displaying 200 portraits he made of South Brooklyn residents. The portraits are on view at Industry City through March 24th. And listeners, we want to hear from you right now. Who's a neighbor or someone in your community that you appreciate and want to shout out? What do they mean to you? Call or text us now at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Rusty, the exhibition is called We Are South Brooklyn. And for the purposes of this project, you painted people who lived south of Prospect Park, which is a massive area. And you point out that South Brooklyn and Southern Brooklyn historically were two different areas. Now, I know you also include a quote of yours on the wall in the show, which is, I quote, I have no business telling anyone who or what South or South Brooklyn is. So how did you think about these historical terms when you were making the project?
Oh, you know, what I tell everybody is that I'm new around these parts. I came over from Crown Heights about 2.5 years ago when I met my lovely wife, Megan, and we got hitched and I took on two new and exciting stepkids and we didn't all fit in my one bedroom apartment. Mm. And so we all shuffled over Brady Bunch style, her and her kids and me and my dog. And now we landed in Kensington. And I told my old neighbors where I landed and they're like, where's Kensington? I've never heard of it. And I said, I hadn't either. And when I launched this project, I got an email from the Brooklyn Eagle, and they said, I'm sure you know, but technically, South Brooklyn once referred to Carroll Gardens, Cobble Hill, and Red Hook when the city of Brooklyn 105 or so years ago was its own entity. Everything south of that was unincorporated farmland, and Brooklyn had yet to be incorporated as a borough into New York City as a whole. Presumably, and do not quote me on any of this, but fast forward to Brooklyn's part of New York City, and you know, folks in Bensonhurst and Coney and Brighton are all saying, well, I guess we're South Brooklyn now. And then folks in Red Hook are like, no, we're South Brooklyn. Mm. And you guys can be Southern Brooklyn. And far be it from me to throw my opinions into any such fracas. That's why I always tell everybody I edit myself out of the oral history components so that it's just each person telling their story as their own portion of this place without me as a guiding force, you know, because right. I wouldn't want to be any sort of accidental cultural ethnographer kind of giving Rusty's tour of South or Southern Brooklyn. That's not who I want to be.
And these oral history interviews that you did for each portrait, all of them are going to be donated to the Center for Brooklyn History after this exhibition closes. As a radio host, obviously, I am, of course, into this. Why was that an important aspect of the project for you?
Well, I should clarify it first to say I spoke to the Center for Brooklyn History and met with their chief historian, Dominique Jean-Louis, and we had a good long talk, and along with another staffer over there, Natiba Guy Clement. And we're essentially going to submit the entire collection once I take all of those 4.5 hour recordings from the moment that people walked in, I pressed record, and 4 hours later when the painting was complete, I turned the microphone off. And so from all that raw footage, I have yet to cull what I'd like to make a 45-minute personal oral history for each person. Then we submit that to their review board, and from there they can decide if they would like to incorporate some or all of those oral histories into their permanent collection of oral histories in Brooklyn, because I found out that they hadn't had a staff oral historian for some years during the pandemic. And so once we got to talking, they said, oh, you have how many of these oral histories you've been recording? So it's going to be 200 by the end of it.
Let's listen to a sample. This is of someone from East Flatbush.
My name is Jamila Natifa Modeste. I'm from East Flatbush, Brooklyn, New York. I've lived there my whole life. Believe it or not, it's very quiet, and I'm grateful because it's just like after a long day in like the busier parts of Brooklyn or the busier parts of Manhattan or wherever, it's just nice to retreat to somewhere that feels 10 degrees cooler because we got a lot of trees. Yes, I'm grateful. There's a lot of people who really manicure their homes and a lot of people who grow food, like, you know, have like a food garden. So it's fun to be nosy and see what they're growing. That's one of the best things I think about East Flatbush.
We also just got a text from somebody who wanted to give a shout out to someone else. A text, Linda, the tamale maker on 4th Ave near the 59th Street NR subway station. We moved our letterpress print shop to Brooklyn Army Terminal and are always happy and buy tamales when Linda is there. Shout out to Linda. There's a lot of energy around acknowledging folks in community, Rusty. How have sitters reacted once they see the final product of their portrait?
Well, first, I just want to say it's a treat that we've gotten to hear from Tommy Colasanto and Jamila Modeste, and Jamila especially just now, because I was really happy to run into her as a representative of the Brooklyn Public Library. She'd just gotten a job there and at the time of her sitting, and I was delighted to reach out to the Brooklyn Public Library when I was looking for places to display these paintings. As soon as they were dry enough, I'd order 18 frames at a time and put them out into the world. And eventually we ended up with 9 concurrent exhibition venues, 7 of which were Southern Brooklyn Public Library branches, because I saw the library as the most public-facing ground level.
Let me pause you there. We're going to run up a little bit. So just tell us, like, how have they reacted? How's the reaction been?
Oh, when people saw their own painting. Gosh. I think the best that I can hope for as somebody who wants a happy customer, whether they're paying for such a thing or not, is when folks say, "That's me." Mm. And Liang Liang Han of Sunset Park saw it in a third person, and she said, "She's beautiful."
We'll have to leave it there. Rusty Zimmerman, he is doing the free portrait project. It's on display now. Thank you so much, Rusty. Coming up on tomorrow's show, cultural influencer Lynn Slater. Her new book is titled How to Be Old, Lessons in Living Boldly from the Accidental Icon. In it, she explains how she followed her passions and started a fashion blog at the age of 61. We'll see you tomorrow.